the reading of the Word of God.
Brother Jerry has a hard time with his grandchildren, but I glory in his bringing them to the house of God. I thought it may be good, maybe to encourage a couple of them girls set with a couple of you elderly ladies in the church,
and husbands, give Brother Jerry a little help with them. And you can handle them, huh? But I glory in his desire to bring him to church. I'm going to try to preach a little while tonight if God will help me. And I'm not going to try to pump something up. It's not here. I'm just going to preach. And Brother Nolan has tried to teach me. I don't know as I know it quite yet. But a preacher ought not to have a lot of noise to preach. If you have to have a lot of noise a lot of times to preach, you're in real trouble in the hour that we're living in. And a man ought not to need a whole lot of excitement to preach. What we need to preach is the presence of God, some liberty, and the presence of God, and a desire and a hunger in the hearts of people for God's Word. And we don't have to have a lot of noise to have a desire to be preached to. But we do need that desire for a man to preach. And I want to try to preach tonight out of Solomon. That's where I've been. And we're going to start that last chapter tonight. And with verse number 1. And try to work our way through the final 14 verses of this book. And it's been a wonderful, wonderful study for me. It really has. And I don't feel like that I have just even touched the hem of the garment of grace of what's in this book. If God will help me one of these days, sometime down the road, if He doesn't return, I'm going to go right back and preach right through it again, all over again. And I want to read one verse to you tonight in chapter number 8 and verse number 1. This is still the bride speaking. And she says, "Oh, that thou," speaking of her bridegroom, of the Lord Jesus, "Oh, that thou wert as my brother that sucked the breast of my mother. When I should find thee without, I would kiss thee. Yea, I should not be despised." What a statement. I think that is one of the glorious statements in all of the Bible. And it's not something that's vulgar either, by the way. I'll try to explain it to you to the best of my ability here in just a minute. Would you pray for me if you know how to pray? I need some help tonight. I really do. We're running quite slow, and I just need a little bit of help from God. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank You, Lord, for the hour that we've arrived at. I thank You for the Word of God that is before us. And I pray that You will quicken this Word. Lord, that You will make it alive and make it, Lord, prosper in our hearts this night. I pray, Father, for the presence of the Spirit of God and for the power and unction of the Holy Ghost upon me that I might preach. I pray for liberty in this place, liberty of thought and Lord, of action, that I might preach tonight with power, grace, and glory, that sinners might be converted, and Lord, that Your people might find their needs met, that hearts may be satisfied tonight, that we may leave this place rejoicing in what Christ has done for us. And Lord, that we might leave with a greater desire for the presence of the Lord Jesus in our lives, for a more intimate relationship with Thee. I pray that You'll help me now, help people, and glorify Yourself, and we'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. I want to read that verse another time for you, where the bride here is speaking, and she says, "Oh, that thou wert as my brother that sucked the breast of my mother, when I should find thee without." Notice this next statement, "I would kiss thee." When I find thee without, that is outside of our private fellowship and outside of our, we might say, the confines of our own heart. Then I'd kiss thee, she says. And those kisses, she said, would not be despised. And if God will help me, I want to preach for a little while tonight on the thought. I want to preach a little while tonight on the thought, some kisses that I'm not ashamed of. Some kisses that I am not ashamed of. I do believe that to be the very truth now that the Lord is conveying to our hearts in this verse. For she said that when I found you without, then if this situation developed, then when I found you without, I would kiss thee and would not be despised, or I would not be reproached, or I would not be ashamed of kissing you in a public place. I want to stop right there for a minute and say that I think one of the greatest problems that we have in our flesh is failing to crucify the flesh that the Spirit of God may respond, that our spirit, rather, may respond to the Spirit of God, and that we might worship Him in our public services. I'm absolutely positive of the fact that most people are really ashamed of Christian worship inside the house of God. We're afraid of what somebody else might say about us if we really just turn loose and worship God in spirit and in truth the way that we ought to. She said, "Oh, that thou wert as my brother that sucked the breasts of my mother. When I should find thee without, I would kiss thee." She said, "Yea, and I would not be despised." Now, I do believe, church, there is a way which a believer can let out his love for Christ in a public place and not be ashamed nor worry about being despised in the eyes of other people. I want to say there from time to time, I kiss my little bride in public. I'm not a bit ashamed of it. From time to time, I kiss my grandchildren in public. I am not ashamed of it. From time to time, I kiss my own children in public. I am not ashamed of it. I kiss my son. I kiss my daughters. I kiss my wife. I kiss my grandchildren. And I am not ashamed of it. I have got a relationship with them that allows me to have that kind of intimate a fellowship with them. And as a child of God, I've got a relationship with my Lord that allows me to have that kind of intimate fellowship with Him and not have to be ashamed of what somebody else may say or think about me. She said, "If you were my brother, and not just a brother, but a brother that sucked the breasts of my mother, then if I had that situation, if we had that kind of a relationship in our spiritual life, I would find you without, I would kiss you, and I would not be ashamed of that fellowship that we have one with another." I want to ask you now, are you ashamed of Him? I'm going to tell you what Paul said. Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Now, I'm going to tell you what the Lord Himself said. He said, "If you're ashamed of me, I'm going to be ashamed of you at my coming." And I'm going to tell you, I am unashamed tonight. I am unashamed of my relationship that I have with the Lord. Now I'm going to tell you, that pride that most of us have is what will hinder us, friend, from having God in our services in public, and it will hinder us from worshiping Him in such a way that it pleases Him and blesses our hearts, that we can leave the house of God feeling like we have been in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll tell you, that's what's wrong with us in here tonight. We come like wooden Indians, bless God.
Amen.
If I walked in my home and treated my wife the way we've treated the Lord tonight, our marriage wouldn't last 2 weeks, friend. Come on in the house, young folk. There ought to be a warmth and a love and a desire in our heart to kiss Him with the kisses of our mouth. Somebody said, you're a fool. No, I'm a Biblist. I believe the Bible. It's, hey, she said in the first chapter, kiss me with the kisses of your mouth. I'm telling you, that kiss, friend, is a symbol of affection, of love. Oh, yes, and you and I ought never to be ashamed to kiss our Lord, whether it be in private worship or in the house of God with somebody sitting beside of us that may not even be pleased with that. I know we was over at Brother Griffith's on Friday night. Some of those little black boys brought in some visitors with them. So, I mean, they had their hair teased up and frizzed up and up in... I never seen anything like it. One of them looked like he had a chocolate log on his head. Sticking right straight, I never seen anything like it in my life. And them little old boys that brought them in sat there like wooden Indians. And Brother Griffith said, he admonished those boys. He said, you boys don't sit dead like that when your friends are not around. What is your problem tonight in the church house? And I'm going to tell you, that is our problem in the church house. We miss a lot of worship and a lot of blessings and a lot of grace and a lot of favor because we're afraid of what somebody will say about us for worshiping our God in close union and fellowship and kissing Him with the kisses of our mouth in the house of God. God have mercy on us. I believe a believer can become so familiar with Christ that our love and affection for Him can be expressed, as it were, with the kisses of our mouth, and that in public worship, and have no fear of shame or reproach whatsoever. Are you ashamed to kiss your wife in public? Come on, the house, men. I'm not a bit ashamed to kiss Mrs. Hall out in public with this kind of a kiss. We ain't talking about something bug or ungodly. Son, we're talking about something spiritual. Something holy. Something gracious and wonderful. And somebody said, oh, Brother Hall, that ought not to be done. We're going to get to a place in a minute where I'm going to prove to you that a little old woman by the name of Mary bowed at His feet and kissed Him, friend, in a public place in the house of Simon the Pharisee.
Yes, sir.
That kiss is a symbol of love and romance. Now, the relationship that she desires is that of a brother and a sister who nursed from the same mother. Somebody said, now preacher, all children nursed from the same mother. Not in the days of Solomon they didn't. If I know anything at all about the Bible, I do believe that Jacob had 13 children and those 13 children had four mothers. But I'm going to tell you something. There was a real close relationship between Joseph and Benjamin. Know why? They had the same mama. They both nursed at the same breast. It was Benjamin that stayed up in Canaan on the boy's first trip down into the land of Egypt. And when Joseph saw him, he said, is your younger brother yet alive? You've got a younger brother? Bring him down here. I want to remind you, it was Benjamin's neck that he fell on, my friend, and kissed Benjamin and wept over Benjamin because the two of them had nursed from the breast of the same mama. And we're not ashamed of it. We can have that kind of fellowship with Christ. We can, hey, and that's what our Lord wants us to see here. That there is a fellowship, there is communion, there is a relationship to be had with Christ that most Baptists know absolutely nothing about, my friend. I'll never forget reading the story of old Duncan Campbell. He said the night God filled him with the Holy Ghost, he said there in that little old room, praying to God and reading His Bible, that wave after wave after wave of the love of God flooded his soul. He said, I really believe if God hadn't got off of me and left me alone, then I'd have died in that room. I'm telling you, friend, you can get so caught up in the love of God and so near to Christ in your communion with Him. That unless God lets you loose and lets you go, that the Spirit of God, you may die because of that close communion. Right. I'm going to tell you, that's right. Somebody said, why? Because your flesh can't handle it all. Son, I'm telling you, if God was to condescend in the fullness of His power into this place tonight, our flesh would melt in the presence of God. I think we've forgotten who God is, son, the creator of the universe, and what God has done. He's died for our soul. And what is He going to do? He's a conforming us and a coming back after us someday. And He deserves and desires that kind of love from you and I. I'm trying to help us now. Trying to help us. That is a close. She says, if we were that close, that I could be treated as your sister, and I could treat you as my brother when we're in public. Then, she said, I could kiss you and wouldn't have to be ashamed or be despised either. Well, I've seen Benny kiss these girls here, Tammy and Lisa, out in public. They're brother and sister. They've got a relationship and a right for that. Is that not right? Come on, how to? Am I saying something foreign to y'all tonight? Then, she said, then, if you and I had the same mother, if we had nursed from the same breast, if our relationship were that close, then I could kiss you and wouldn't have to be ashamed or despised of those kisses. And there are some kisses, my friend, that you and I ought never to be ashamed of. You bear with me now. I've got four of them I want to mention. I want to preach a while about that kiss of acknowledgement. Somebody said, preacher, you've done went off the deep end. No. No, I'm not went off the deep end. A kiss of acknowledgement, such as bowing and kissing the back of the hand of one who is a king or a ruler or of a large domain, and you and I as his servant and in subjection to him. Have you ever seen it, friend? Have you ever seen a man walk up to a man in authority and take that hand and humbly bow and kiss that man on the hand and never be ashamed of that? That is a kiss of acknowledgement. Somebody said, preacher, what are we kissing? I'm not ashamed to kiss his hand and acknowledge some things out in public. But I know a whole lot of Baptists that are. And we're getting ready to get somewhere now. Just hang with me. What about acknowledging Him as the sovereign of all the universe? Bowing to Him, kissing His hand, recognizing Him as the sovereign of all the universes that we behold. All the galaxies, all the heavenlies. Somebody said, well, preacher, do we really have to do that? I believe we do. Our dear brother Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 6, he said, which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality dwelling in light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen, nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. And then Brother Paul said, amen. I like it that way. You know why I can bow to him and acknowledge him? with a kiss to the back of the hand as the sovereign of this universe is because that same sovereign, my friend, I'm talking about a sovereign God that holds all things in the power of His Word, condescended from His heavenly place, came all the way to this earth, climbed up on a tree, blessed God, laid down His life, and died on Calvary that you and I might be saved. Oh yes, I have no problem bowing to Him, kissing His hand, and recognizing Him as a sovereign holy God.
Amen.
You got to look at Him in the heights and the depths both. Sovereign. Was made in the likeness of sinful flesh. Being found in the fashion of a man. He humbled Himself.
Amen.
And became obedient unto death.
Amen.
Even the death of the cross. And I'm telling you, friend, when I contemplate His glorious power and His sovereignty, my friend, I have, and the fact that He died on Calvary, I have no problem bowing to Him and kissing Him and acknowledging the fact that He's sovereign. Start talking about the sovereignty of God in most Baptist churches, they'll think you're cussing them. Say, God's a sovereign God. Well now, preacher, sovereign over what? Everything. He does what He wants to, when He wants to, where He wants to, how He wants to, and He doesn't ask you and me one stinking thing about it. Who has ascended into heaven and give counsel to God? Or who has brought God down from heaven and set Him down at a table and given Him counsel there? I tell you, the wise counsel of the heart and the mind of God. He established all things, that is, and upholds them with the right hand of His power. And He'll bring all things to pass for you and I have come one of these glorious days. Better believe that, sir. He's sovereign, friend. And He'll show in His times who is the only wise God, the only potentate. I said only one. Just one. Not a plurality of them, but one. He's God, and beside Him there is none other. Allah, Buddha, Mohammed, all that crowd, Joseph Smith, all that crowd, my friend, are going to hell, but I've got a sovereign God. I don't mind to bow and kiss His hand and declare Him to be the sovereign ruler of the universe that we live in.
Amen.
He's God.
Amen.
He's God. See, our problem is that we want to, how is the word, what deify? Tell me, help me with that. Does that make us deity or Him humanity? Help me. You understand what I'm saying? Our problem is we want to bring Him down on our level. He ain't coming down on our level. I'm going to tell you what He wants to do, bring us up on His level. Somebody said, can He do that in the person of Christ? He can elevate us as sons of God. Oh yes, and I know that when we see Him, we'll see Him as He is. For we shall be like Him. Hallelujah to God. Woo! Tell you what the Scripture said. Scripture said, are you not all gods? Immortality and life He has given. He gives His life, and His life is an immortal life, friend, and He gives that to you and I, who are mortal beings. Hallelujah. I want to say I'm going to kiss Him, be subject to Him as the sovereign of the universe. I have no problem with that. I'm not going to shake my fist in His nose and tell God what I'm going to do, neither are you, Buckwheat. He ain't going to. Some fellow went back in there in the back room one night and we was praying on the radio marathon. He said, preacher, did you ever think about commanding the angels? I said, you talk like an idiot.
Amen.
He said, you know, we got a right to command God. I said, now you're down to moron stage, sir.
Amen.
What man will command God? Jimmy Swaggart and that crowd, I command thee. I command thee. Commanding God to do what? My Bible tells me we're to be obedient to His command, son. I mark to the tune of His drummer roll. He don't march to our tune. And the sooner that Baptists realize that there's a God up there that rules and controls all things, my friend, and we are subject unto His power, the better off we'll be. I don't have any problem with that, do you? I'm going to show you some other reasons here in a minute. I acknowledge Him, hey. The kiss of acknowledgement. I'm subject unto Him. I acknowledge Him as my sovereign. I acknowledge Him as sustainer.
Amen.
Somebody said, when's the world coming in? I didn't know it was. I remember years ago when I was a little old boy, the great northern lights was shining. And boy, I remember I was just a little old boy, and Uncle, my Grandpa Hall lived right up on the hill from my daddy. My Uncle Forrest lived across the road. Uncle Herman down this way. My Uncle Chester down this way from us. Son, them lights was, I never seen anything like it. All of my uncles, aunts, little old cousins, all gathered in up at Grandpa Hall, and I can still hear them. They got down on the ground up there and began to pray and said, oh God, save us. The world's coming to an end. The world's a coming to an end. They never seen anything like that, friend. They really thought the world was coming to an end. You know what I realize now? They were ignorant of what the Bible said. Huh? Ignorant of what the Bible said. Somebody said, preacher, what does it say? It says that He's going to rule the world.
Amen.
To Him be glory in the church. Amen. Worlds, worlds without end. Amen and amen, son. This world ain't going to end. It's just going to start all over anew. You can believe what you want to believe, but I believe the Jews is going to live on this earth as God's earthly people forever and ever and ever. And you and I as the bride of Christ are going to dwell in that new city of Jerusalem that comes down out of heaven as a bride adorned for her husband. Oh yes, and the kings of the earth will bring their treasure to the gates of the city, and the gates will never be closed there night, for there'll be no night time there, for the sun is the light thereof. Hallelujah! No temple there, for He is the temple likewise. I'm telling you, He's God. Like Peg said, He's still God. I said, I acknowledge Him as sustainer. I said, where do you get that? Hebrews 1:3. Who being in the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power.
Amen.
Upholding all things. When God throwed the moon out yonder and said, shine!
Right.
It's still a shining. When He set the sun up there and said, rotate around every 24 hours!
Amen.
Every 24 hours, sun, the earth rotates around it. Ain't that right?
Right.
And turns on its axis as it goes. When He put the oceans where they are and put the moon up there and said, moon, command the seasons and the oceans that they overflow not. They've never overflowed, have they?
Amen.
He upholds all things by the word of His power. Now I want you to get a hold of this, you little peon.
Amen.
What they called us in the army when we was privates, peons. Little nobodies. That's what we are, little nobodies. I want you to get a hold of this. If He upholds the sun, the moon, the stars, the earth that we're living on, and how many galaxies? Somebody say this. 93 million galaxies. He upholds them all by the word of His power. Hey! You think He's got a problem holding you up tonight? Who is this that cometh out of the wilderness? Leaning upon her beloved. You think He's got a problem holding you up and sustaining you, son? If He sustains all the worlds by the word of His power, He can hold up every sinner that is saved by grace as well.
Amen.
Amen. I'm starting to feel better. If I could, I'd stir you up somewhere. I'd pick this pulpit up, bless God, and sling it right out in the middle of you. That's right. He upholds all things by the word of His power. And get a hold of this. And when He had by Himself purged our sins. Somebody said, preacher, the baptistry washed mine away. You're lost. Well, I'm doing good deeds. You're still lost. I joined the church. You're still going to hell. when He had by Himself purged our sins. No high priest ever done it in the Old Testament, but our great high priest, when He had purged our sins, sat down. And I never seen this until today. It doesn't say He sat down by the right hand of God. He sat down on the right hand of God. Woo! What a hand God must have, buddy. Amen. Purged by Himself our sins and sat down at the right hand of God. Somebody said, what's that mean? It means His work's finished. It's done. There's no more to add to it. Nothing can be added to salvation. Nothing can be taken away from it. Oh, those that He come to redeem. Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Glory to God. I'm glad, thank God, that His finished work ensures, my friend, that I'm heaven bound tonight with the hammer down. I'm a going to glory, and shame on the devil. Shame on the devil. And He upholds and sustains my salvation by that same word of power. He can sustain preachers, He calls. You better believe He can. Hallelujah. I'm feeling like preaching now, young lady. And you look like a candidate.
Amen.
Yeah! We're not here to play games, son. We're here to preach a gospel and bring down the power of Him that sits on the right hand of God. Bring down the power that sinners might be liberated. I'm going to acknowledge Him tonight and kiss the back of His hand and be subject unto Him as my Savior.
Amen.
As sovereign, as sustainer, and as Savior, I kiss Thee, Lord Jesus. I bow to Thee. I'm not ashamed of it. He saved me by His grace. I was a drunk while in my puke. Whoa! Just an old vile, wretched, foul mouth cussing soldier boy, fit for nothing, ought to be in hell. But a loving God came where I was, Brother Richard, as a hell-bound sinner, and by grace, He lifted me out, son. I'm not ashamed to be acquainted with Him. That's right. Used to get out on them old dance floors and cut a rug. I wasn't ashamed to do that.
Right.
You know why I wasn't? Are you listening to me? I was full of the Spirit. But it's the wrong kind of a Spirit.
Right.
If I get filled with that Spirit and cut a shine out on that floor, why can't I get filled with the right and the Holy Spirit and cut a shine in the house of God?
Right.
Hey, Dad! And kissed Him on the back of His hand, and I bow, I acknowledge You as my Savior. If it wasn't for You, I'd be polluted in my blood. If it wasn't for You, I'd be dead in my sins. If it wasn't for You, I'd still be in darkness. If it wasn't for You, I'd still be in death. If it wasn't for You, I'd be on my way to a Christless eternity. Oh, but light shined out of darkness. Woo! Hallelujah to God. And grace was bestowed. And mercy was found. And they kissed one another. And I went free that morning. And God took my place. I tell you, the great sustainer, the great sovereign, the great Savior took my place. Hallelujah to God. Isn't that wonderful? Here's the season to be saved. La 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 la. Hey man, where'd my specs go? Hallelujah. Whoopee. Listen to what this says. Isaiah 45. I'm talking about acknowledging Him as Savior. Isaiah 23:25. I have sworn by myself. The word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow. Woo! You get a hold. You're talking about sovereignty. I'm in Isaiah 45:23-25. He said, I've sworn it. It's went out of my mouth. I shall not repent, that every knee shall bow to me, son. That's sovereignty. That's the sustainer. Now here comes the Savior of it. Amen. That every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear. Surely shall one say, in the Lord have I righteousness and strength. Even to him shall men come, and all that are incensed against him shall be ashamed. In the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified and shall glory. In the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified and shall glory. I'm here to tell you, son, I'm not justified by some preacher. I'm not justified by church membership. I am justified by him. Therefore, I humbly bow and submit to him as my authority in my life.
Amen.
Woo!
Amen.
Amen. I want to say, secondly, not only the kiss of acknowledgement, but there's a kiss of approbation. I'm talking about the kiss of approval. I kiss him in approval. When I walk in my house at night, I walked in over today and Miss Hall had a big steaming pot of chicken soup. Son, I'm talking about had it in one of them big yellow cookers. Had that table set for me and her and Miss Sharon. Had a little candle there burning. Had three plates sitting there at the table and a big pone of cornbread, son, that'd make a man's tongue flap his brain plumb sideways. I looked at that and I thought, boy, I like that. I said, thank you, sweetheart. I approved of what she done.
Right.
You ever kiss him in approval?
Amen.
Do you approve of what he's done? Do you approve of what he is doing in your life? Huh? Can you get a hold of that? Kiss the Son, the psalmist said, lest he be angry. You know what my wife had done behind and said something to her over a day? He don't appreciate nothing. I wonder how many times the Lord thinks that about us. I wonder, do they really appreciate anything I've done for them? I've kept them out of hell and they don't appreciate it. I put them through some hardships to conform them to my image and they don't approve. They don't appreciate that. I've given them things and I've deprived them of others. Still don't approve of it. You ever kiss him? Would you be ashamed to kiss him tonight? In approval of what he's done for you? Huh? I heard the other day they said, President Bush has got a 93% approval rating. Wonder what type of approval rating he's got.
Right.
How many Baptists in this room tonight are dissatisfied with what God's done for you? Are doing with you? Are doing for you? Oh, but preacher, you don't understand what we're going through. Makes no difference. He doeth all things well. Listen to this. You get a hold of this. In Mark's Gospel, in chapter number 7, the Lord is there dealing with a man that is deaf and dumb. He healed that man in verses 36 and 37. And he charged them that they should tell no man what he had done. But the more he charged them, so much the more a great deal they published it. And were beyond measure astonished, saying, he hath done all things well. Son, he astonishes me in my life that he has done all things well in my life. He's made no mistakes. Get a hold of this now. He said, done all things well. He maketh the dumb to speak, the deaf to hear, and the dumb to speak. He's done all things well.
Amen.
That's Matthew 7, verses 36 and 37. They said he doeth all things well. They give him a pretty good approval rating.
Amen.
Can I tell you three things I approve of in my life? I approve of the way he has handled the crisis in my life.
Amen. Amen.
Every turning point, he has made no mistakes. I approve of it. We went to Green Valley, Arizona. I was the one groaning out there, buddy. And I thought surely God had made a mistake. Lord, you ain't sent me. Oh, no, God hadn't made no mistake. I resigned. They made me pastor of that church, and I resigned it. And I didn't have a dime in my pocket. And I said, surely God's made a mistake. God followed God. Oh, no. God hadn't made no mistake.
Amen.
Looking back over it, my friend, every crisis in my life. You don't ever know what God's going to do for you tomorrow. Today it may be a calamity. Tomorrow, sons, it may be Mount Everest for you. Tomorrow, today broke, tomorrow rich. Today low, tomorrow high. Today sad, tomorrow happy. You don't ever know what God's going to do in your life. You want to hear of a little kiss of approval in a crisis situation? Won't we try April the 7th?
Yes, sir.
Is that right?
Yes, sir.
What happened on that day, Doug? Let's tell us.
I married your daughter.
Married my daughter. Where'd you marry her at?
Maryville, Tennessee.
Maryville, Tennessee. Where was I living at that time?
Tucson, Arizona.
Oh. Now, here's what happened. We had that reception, and I walked over to that little girl and said, gave her approval to marry him.
Amen.
I didn't know when I said you can, he's going to drag her off down there. But here it is, nearly. How many years later?
14 and a half years.
14 and a half years later. And how long have you been here?
10 years.
Amen.
See how he brings things together in your life. He does all things well. I don't know what he's going to do for y'all, but he'll do it well. He ain't made no mistakes, son. He's like Colonel Goldstein. He ain't made no damn mistakes, boys.
Amen.
Every crisis,
yes, sir.
He's done well. I give him the kiss of approval. I'm not ashamed.
Amen.
I can stand here and testify to you. I'm not ashamed of what he's done. If we'll open our blinded eyes and give God a chance to work somewhat for us, rather than jumping to silly conclusions about everything,
yes,
worrying ourselves sick over things that ain't happened, probably never will happen. I'm going to tell you, most of the time when I thought in my mind what God was going to do with me, He done the opposite. I approve of the way He's handled the crisis in my life. I approve. Come on now. I approve of the way that He's handled the cash in my life. Which I'm broke. Penn said to not said, I gotta get a job. Got to go down here at Old Wrexham. They're going to make me work 2 weekends out every month. I don't know what to do. Hey, I don't know everything, but I know one thing. I approve of the way He's handled the cash in my life, friend. I'm going to tell you right now, I ain't got none. I'm trying to give it all can to Him. Maybe that's why some of you ain't happy. You ain't just give it all to Him and said, here it is. Whatever you want to do with it, do it. Look here, He's taught me how to pay my debts. You're looking at a fellow that wouldn't even pay a bill years ago. I remember back. I'm talking about way back, even after I was saved. I was a sorry hon, y'all couldn't pay my bills. I never did file bankruptcy, never did go through none of that stuff. But I'm just here to tell you, friend, that I did not want to pay bills. But I'm going to tell you what God has taught me to do. He's taught me to take that money, and if it was the last dime I had and there was a bill due, pay that bill. If it come between me paying a debt that I had made and buying a loaf of bread, I paid the debt. I made it. I was responsible for it. I owed it. I paid it. He's taught me how to respect a dollar bill. How to respect other folks. If they give you that money, bless your heart, pay it back to them.
Right.
Boy, we having fun now, sure enough. He's taught me. Now I'm trying to hurry through these. He's taught me how to pay my debts. Romans 12:11 said, "Not sloth, be not slothful in business." He's teaching me to lay a little bit back. Somebody said, well, preacher, we can't lay nothing back. I'm going to tell you, lay her back and leave it there. Somebody said, what if we go to heaven? Well, glory to God, let the Pope have it. Who gives a flip where it goes when we go to heaven? There ain't nothing wrong with having a little bit of money. I've heard preachers say, just give it all away. There ain't nothing wrong with saving a dollar bill every now and then.
Amen.
You You might have to have it down the road. You know a little $125 retirement check you give me every month? You know where it goes? My IRA account. Now, I'm doing good. Last time I checked, I'd lost $200. But if the market goes back up, I win some. But it's a death benefit. I'm guaranteed every dime I put in there if I die for my wife. Every penny of it she'll get. Every dime of it. And when I die, I ain't going to need it no how. He's taught me how to lay a little bit back. And He's taught me, get this now. I want you better get this, young people. He has taught me that financial liberty is better than possessions.
Amen.
I'd rather be free, son, to come and go and do as I please than to be strapped with 1,500,000 payments every month that I couldn't make. I'd rather have a little less if I had to have it.